produced and distributed by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C. This is your daily audio stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Daily Audio Stash is where responsible marijuana smokers listen in on the latest news about cannabis, hear the voices of the marijuana law reform movement in special segments and interviews, and kick back with comedy and music no other podcast can offer. It's Normal's Daily Audio Stash. More information at normalaudiostash.com. First up today, it's news from Normal. Our news today. Local government backs Colorado's Amendment 44. Commissioners in Pitkin County, Colorado, which includes the city of Aspen, unanimously passed a resolution this week endorsing Amendment 44, the Alcohol Marijuana Equalization Initiative. The Pitkin County Commissioner's Office is the first government body to back the initiative, which seeks to remove all state criminal and civil penalties for the possession and use of small amounts of marijuana by adults. The commissioner's resolution states that Amendment 44, quote, strikes an appropriate balance between public safety and individual choice, that persons 21 years of age or older who can legally possess and consume alcohol should be able to choose to legally possess and consume small quantities of marijuana in non-public places, close quote. County Commissioners Jack Hatfield and Mick Ireland also stated their support for Amendment 44 to the local press. 54% of voters passed a similar municipal initiative in Denver last year. Here to speak with us today about the resolution is Steve Fox, an attorney for Safer Alternative for Enjoyable Recreation, a group sponsoring the initiative. Steve, welcome back to the Audio Stash today.
Thanks for having me back. Good to be here.
Thanks again for joining us. This news is very interesting today from Pitkin County. What's this resolution mean to the Amendment 44 campaign?
As far as I know, it was a pretty basic resolution expressing their endorsements of the referenda or initiatives that are on the ballot. And they expressed their opinion on a handful of them, and on our initiative, they unanimously voted in favor of endorsing it in a positive manner.
And when the commissioners or city councils pass these types of resolutions, are they recommendations? Do the county's voters then take a cue from this type of thing?
Well, I mean, if the media didn't report on it, I suppose very few people would even know. But fortunately, it was in the paper this morning, and people will see that, and the whole anti-marijuana mythology that exists in this country will, you know, be chipped away a little more, and people will say, well, I guess it's not so crazy to support this because even the county commissioners are supporting it.
Steve, at least two of the Pitkin County commissioners spoke to the local press in favor of Amendment 44, one citing the law enforcement burden of marijuana and the other stating that the amendment was a balanced representation of the comparison between marijuana and alcohol. What's the reaction been at Safer to these statements so resonant with the Safer message?
It's wonderful. I mean, that's been our purpose since we kicked off our activities in Colorado, simply to educate the public that marijuana is less harmful than alcohol, and therefore adults should not be punished for making the safer, rational choice to use marijuana instead. And to see a county commission echoing our words is fantastic.
So do you think this resolution might also bring other officials out in support of Amendment 44?
Well, it'll be interesting to see what happens. I suppose there could even be some blowback where county commissioners elsewhere will say, well, you know, we need to take a stand against this. I mean, the usual elected official response is to be anti-marijuana just because that's the way they've been raised, basically. But hopefully some other counties will have the wisdom to also endorse it. I mean, one thing to note, it's the county where Aspen is the largest community. So it's kind of a ski county as much as anything else.
And Steve, how much of that support around Aspen is from the longtime presence of Hunter S. Thompson and the Normal Foundation in the area?
Sure. I mean, you have Bob Broudis out there. He's been open in support. He's the sheriff out there. And there is just an attitude out there about marijuana itself that isn't so hyperbolic as most other places. And certainly Normal has been there many times, and I'm sure that helps.
And Steve, one final question. Voters have until when to register for these November elections?
Until October 10th. And if they still need to register, they should go to govotecolorado.org to do so.
Steve Fox, thanks again for joining us here today.
Thanks for having me.
Steve Fox is an attorney for Safer Alternative for Enjoyable Recreation. We have links, and they can be found at saferchoice.org.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson from Normal. For 30 years, Normal has provided a voice for the millions of Americans who smoke marijuana responsibly. More than 500,000 Americans are arrested each year for smoking pot. These are ordinary citizens like you and me whose lives and careers are being needlessly destroyed. To learn how you can help, contact Normal at www.norml.org or call toll-free at 888-67-NORML.
Welcome back to the Audio Stash today. I'm your host, Chris Goldstein. Take a moment to join us at Normal to end marijuana prohibition in America. Just visit norml.org. Today, we're starting off our Initiative Watch series. Leading up to the November elections, we'll speak with the hard-working activists around the country who are giving Americans the opportunity to vote on pot ballot initiatives this fall. Find out more about the initiatives and register to vote at normalaudiostash.com. Initiative Watch segment today, we'll speak with Tim Beck, the president of Michigan Normal. Tim has seen a number of ballot initiatives through successful votes in Michigan. And as we'll hear, these municipal initiatives have started to change the atmosphere in the state. Tim Beck, welcome back to Normal's Daily Audio Stash today.
Hey, my pleasure, Chris. Always good talking with you.
Great to speak with you again, Tim. Let's talk about what's heating up in the Michigan ballot initiative activity. There's one in Flint, Michigan later this year in February. Tell us about that one.
Yeah, what happened, it was supposed to be on the ballot in November, but again, the ballot initiative process can be pretty legally tricky. And it was an interesting thing. We needed 1,100 signatures. We turned in over 2,000 of them, all volunteers. No, we didn't pay anybody for signatures or anything like that. And the law said you had to turn in the signatures 90 days prior to the election, which we did. The clerk then has 10 days to certify whether you got enough signatures and it meets all legal standards. At that point, we turned the signatures in August 8th. The clerk certified on the 18th, as she legally had to do. But the city council then, at that moment, the meter begins running. The city council then has 30 days in order to either pass the initiative into law the way it's written, or it automatically goes to the voters. Well, these folks were pretty tricky because they decided to take the full 30 days, and unbeknownst to us, there was another state and county law saying that all ballot language had to be in by the end of the month, and so by letting the meter run itself out, we did not make the November ballot. They didn't want it on the November ballot. We have a number of theories for that, but nonetheless, they have to be on the ballot at the next election, which would be in February. So we're not happy about that. Again, conventional wisdom suggests that in low turnout elections, generally you're more conservative, you know, type people vote. And so we would prefer certainly be on the ballot, you know, in November when the governor is being elected and so on. But nonetheless, we're still confident that we're going to win. And we've run low turnout elections before, specifically in Detroit. So we're pretty confident. But that's how that came about. And so we will be on the ballot in February in Flint. And this is a medical marijuana initiative. We're amending the Flint City Code to grant an exemption under city law for medical use of marijuana.
With over 2,000 signatures turned in, seems like there's a broad community support for medical marijuana in Flint.
There is. And one of the most interesting things that we saw. Now, again, I may be putting a bad light on the council. Flint is in a lot of turmoil politically, and they have to watch, these council people have to watch their P's and Q's, and maybe they just decided to let the meter run out so they can pretend that they gave it, you know, full consideration. But what was interesting is that no one, literally at any of these council meetings when this subject was discussed, ever attacked the proposal, including council members. And this is unheard of. We have never in Detroit, Ferndale, Traverse City, Ann Arbor, where there was always opposition, you know, coming out at these council meetings. There was council people, you know, going through all kinds of hysterics about dangers to kids, and it's against state law and blah, blah, blah. And that never happened. We have not got one whimper of opposition whatsoever, which I think does tend to validate what you just said. That there is support.
So that support, does that come from science coming out, or is the issue gaining headway in Michigan there with large referendums already passed in places like Ann Arbor and Detroit?
Oh, absolutely. And where it's heightened awareness is with the opposition itself. They fought very, very hard, you know, to defeat us in Detroit and in Ann Arbor and Ferndale and Traverse City, and they all lost by over 60% of the vote. And I think the handwriting is on the wall. I mean, they can go, you know, through all their stuff, but I think they see that this is virtually impossible to defeat, you know, once it gets you know, to the voters, and I think that's the real thing. And demographically speaking, polls done by, let's say, like the Marijuana Policy Project, for instance, indicate that the more a community identifies with the Democratic Party or liberalism, progressivism, and the higher the content of African American voters, the more likely the issue, especially medical marijuana, is likely to win and likely to be favored, as opposed to, let's say, you know, some ritzy suburb or that's Republican-oriented, you know, that type of thing. And Flint fits that demographic. It's 65% African-American in population. The Democratic Party, I mean, the Republicans don't even run candidates for state representative, you know, in some, you know, districts of Flint, I mean, because the Democrat just always wins. And I think that's another thing that's playing into the situation also.
Tim, also, do you think these municipal initiatives, going town by town, city by city, is also really serving to change the attitudes of law enforcement, of politicians, city councilors, and other city leaders, as well as regular citizens, to the point where when you propose this medical marijuana ordinance, there's no opposition?
Yeah, I think that's what's happening. And again, see, the anti-drug, you know, community or they're a very small crowd, and they get a lot of government funding, this CADCA, Community Anti-Drug, you know, whatever, of America, and on, and they all work together very, very closely, and they talk among themselves, and they have lost four times now on medical marijuana, and I just see this as basically a surrender. I mean, time will tell. I mean, something obviously could emerge, you know, closer to the election. But I believe that they've thrown in the towel, at least on the medical issue. Now, what we're doing, people say, well, what's the purpose? Why are you doing this? Well, what we really want to ultimately do, we're hoping, it's no guarantee, but we are hoping to secure the $2 million that we need to run a statewide initiative in Michigan in 2008. And we're making some progress toward that, and this is part you know, of that process. That's exactly what our agenda is. And if we can't secure the money, well, then, you know, with these all these cities passing these laws, it sends a strong message to politicians. And in that case, you know, the legislative route may be viable if we can't get the money, you know, to go statewide. But either way, it sends a very powerful signal. And once, when you win, especially in double digits like we have, over 60%, 74% in Ann Arbor, that's powerful. That's heavy. I mean, that's a major, that's a massacre in political terms, you know, for them, for the opposition. And so we intend to keep going forward. We're looking at Kalamazoo, Michigan in 2007, possibly Lansing. We've got a very, very good organizer out in Kalamazoo. We are actually getting support from the United Auto Workers, who believe if they get this medical marijuana on the ballot, it'll give them, it'll bring their type of voters out to the polls so they can get control of the city council. So we're working strategic alliances with other interest groups that they support medical marijuana, but that's not why they're supporting it. They want it. They want an issue to bring out their voters to the polls.
Tim, this is fascinating. The issue of marijuana seems, in Michigan at least, to have become a uniting factor in politics there, and really changed the political landscape in Michigan for the better.
Well, it is, and Michigan is very, very, you know, it was very hardcore, and the first win we ever had was Detroit, and I'm telling you, it was a Donnybrook. I mean, it was mean, and I actually got a brick thrown through my window, you know, the day their, you know, opposition press releases went out. I mean, county sheriffs and people from Oakland County and the whole anti-drug crowd, I mean, they just piled on, you know, to defeat this. And they lost. They lost big time, you know, with it. And each time the opposition has been getting, I mean, less effective, you know, as things go on. And, you know, we're hoping that we can get something on the ballot in 2008, you know, in Michigan, because, again, that's the presidential election. And I think the revulsion toward George Bush and everything he represents will play very, very, very well for a win here in Michigan. And we are not looking to have an initiative where only, you know, a dying persons qualify, okay? And we need to protect, you know, very seriously ill people. But as you and everyone here are aware, marijuana is good medicine for a lot of conditions. And we'd like to see a situation similar to Oregon and California developing in Michigan. That's our goal. I think at this point, full, you know, legalization or decrim or whatever is just being here in the Midwest, which is still very, very, very conservative. I think it's a little premature, you know, to go to a natural, you know, next step. But I think out in California, what the strategy now in California is, they're going three different cities now. They're going for lowest law enforcement priority. And eventually I could see in California, which is far, far ahead, you know, and more highly evolved than parts of the Midwest like we're from, I could see, you know, marijuana being legal in 10 years in California.
Tim, many thanks for joining us here today on Normal's Daily Audio Stash, and I look forward to speaking with you throughout the election season here.
Chris, thank you so much. I've enjoyed it, as always. Best to you all.
Tim Beck is the president of Michigan Normal. We have links to them at normalaudiostash.com. Artists and music. Today we have some music found up at the Independent Online Distribution Alliance, or IODA, the home to many thousands of artists and independent record labels, and they make some tracks available for podcast play. We have links to the IODA at normalaudiostash.com. Here's some jazz found up there from Scott Newman in Osage County on our legal and legislative day here on the Audio Stash. Here's this track, The Mayor of Smoke. We'll be right back.
755,000. That is a big number to be sure, but do you know what this number represents? It signifies the total number of citizens in America arrested on marijuana charges in 2004. That's right, 755,000 of your fellow citizens were arrested on marijuana charges. That's an arrest every 40 seconds, and 9 out of 10 of those arrested are for possession-only charges. Does continuing marijuana prohibition make sense to you? It certainly does not to the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws and its members. I'm Normal's Executive Director, Alan St. Pierre, and if you too think that it is high time to end marijuana prohibition and replace it with a tax and regulate policy, please join and support Normal's 36-year legislative efforts to reform our country's misguided marijuana laws. You can learn more about Normal or become an active supporter by calling toll-free 888-67-NORMAL, N-O-R-M-L, or by visiting us on the web at normal, N-O-R-M-L.org.
Next up, an independent rapper found up at the Independent Online Distribution Alliance. Here's Bama Zumbi with this track, Flying High.
Love. Looking back into my crystal ball, I observed it all, the good and bad and the ugly, y'all. Had the perfect situation, child on vacation, 6 years old, bold, a world of inflation. My family all around me protected, and grandpapa, grandmama on my next of kin. It was Philly back then, before we started moving, before crack sales, black on black shooting, before AIDS invaded the hood, it was good. Before 9/11, Biggie pockets shook, before there was war in the Middle East, and before I knew the difference between God and the beast, before I was a child full of wondrous eyes, and my birthday smile wide, looking for my surprise, playing tackle in the street with my brother in Fleet, mixing a jar of grape Kool-Aid so it's sugary sweet. Mama, can I get something to eat? I'll be good, I promise. Learning cursed words, hating the silence. When my parents got mad, the house would get sad somehow. It'd get better, and I'd just be glad that we were making it, and we were all a team somehow. Saw myself king in my forlorn dream, still seeking for them signs that it's gonna be fine. Stay in the moment, take my time, float along with the rhyme, 'cause I'm moving ahead several years, gained a couple of fears, drank some 40-ounce beer, shed a whole lot of tears, seen a couple homies burn in the furnace of flight. God, you took them so young in the prime of their life. One died from a tumor in his brain. It's strange how it always seems sunny, but it's destined to rain. Another homie was a star, but inside was a scar. Took his tripping too far, now we locked behind bars. Went to college, learned a lot, most outside of the class. With my partner smoking grass, life was moving so fast. Learned that really making love was more than getting some ass. Seen a dude in the street laying dead from a blast. Started rapping on the real, even signable deal. Learned the industry's a devil, gives a fuck how you feel. Thought I got a girl pregnant, so I took it as a warning. Praying to God to come and stop the inner storming. Meditating late, reconsidered my fate. Found my only real happiness, recorded to tape. Working two jobs for power, making $9 an hour. It was good for the time, but it started getting sour. Feeling trapped in, addicted to rapping. Getting tapped in, it need to happen. Something wasn't right, I decided to fight. Got on a plane, took a flight, grabbed a hold of the mic. Now I'm
were found at our new hookup for PodSafe Independent Music. We found them up at the Independent Online Distribution Alliance, or IODA, home to thousands of artists and independent record labels, and they make tracks available for podcast play. We have links to the IODA at normalaudiostash.com. This has been Normal's Daily Audio Stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Thanks to podshow.com for all the great pod-safe music. We feature the band Carne Cruda as our theme. Make sure you visit our website at normalaudiostash.com. That's normalaudiostash.com for more information about every day's show. Thanks to Red Aphid Interactive Media for the podcasting technology. We're back at 4:20 tomorrow. If you listen to the Audio Stash, cast your vote at Podcast Alley or other podcast directory services. I'm your host, Chris Goldstein. Thanks for listening today. See you at 4:20 tomorrow. The podcasting technology of Normal is made possible by Red Aphid Interactive Media. More information at redaphid.com.